Like, I'm not on Twitter. I don't really use TikTok or Twitch or Pinterest. So I'm going where my audience is, which is a newsletter that goes in their inbox.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and this is Future Proof. So I'm really excited to bring you a fun conversation I had with Danielle Hughes of More Than Words Copy. They're a copywriting and branding consultancy that helps individuals and organizations develop their personality brands, as she calls it. And as you may know, personal branding is a topic I feel strongly about, given that my second book, Getting to Like, covers that very topic. I previously worked with Danielle on a webinar on how people can survive and even thrive professionally during the coronavirus pandemic by displaying their personality a little more, and frankly, how displaying a bit of uniqueness will become more important as time goes on, and us humans all become a little bit more commoditized. So with that somber note, let's jump right into my conversation with Danielle. So Danielle, welcome to Future Proof.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's always great to have somebody on who I know personally a little bit. I would say that, you know, I feel like I know you better than most people I haven't really been in the same room with, which is kind of nice, but it feels very 2020 to say that, especially amidst a pandemic.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I agree. I think it's strange that we haven't actually physically met in person, and yet we've collaborated and done things together. And so this is the way of the world, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. The first thing that I really like to ask everybody at the beginning is, you know, who the heck are you and what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
So I like to say that I am the Chief Personality Officer of More Than Words Marketing, and that's a copywriting and branding consultancy. Basically, what that means is I help people figure out how to create what I call a genuine personality brand, where they're bringing something of themselves into their messaging in order to make it easier for them to communicate with their audience, whoever that audience is, and create stronger relationships with that audience.
And, you know, it's interesting because I think obviously there's so many people who you and I know who are technologists and all they think about is, you know, how to adopt the latest AI, technology to give them a slight incremental boost in their business. And, you know, for me, what it really comes down to a lot of the time is about building a strong connection with the consumer and doing that through strong storytelling, through strong copy. And it's almost like not sexy to, you know, talk about, to think about, but it's really, I feel like, a core of, you know, the businesses that succeed versus the ones that don't. But, you know, what I'm curious what you think. Obviously, feel free to disagree.
No. I couldn't agree more. And not because I'm worried that the robots are going to come take my job. I've always had this propensity towards what I call like the human touch in messaging, even before it was the thing to do to be genuine and authentic and all these other nauseating words. I've always felt that just being more natural in your content was more resonant with people. And I started out in B2B. So I was writing for business audiences, but you know, they're still people. So, you know, why are you trying to come across and portray yourself in another way when at the end of the day, they're going to read your message as if they're a consumer? So I actually think, and of course, like in today's day and age with what's going on, I actually think humanity is a gazillion times more important than it ever has been in messaging. And it prevents you from being tone deaf. I mean, I think AI is great when it comes to automation and systems and processes. But at the end of the day, if a human being isn't writing your content so that it's hitting the right target, your message is going to come across as tone deaf. And you're going to be wasting all that money on automated processes that don't move the needle.
Yeah, I mean, it's very true. And I think, you know, a lot of people talk about personal branding, but, you know, one of my books was written about basically that topic. And I think what's interesting is I like that you kind of honed in on not like screw that, but like really saying like for you, it's all about personality branding and helping people, you know, resonate on a sometimes on a one-to-one basis by virtue of their personality. And like, how do you draw the distinction between personal branding and personality branding?
So to me, it is a little bit of a nuance in the word choice, because if something's personal, it's private, right? So why am I sharing that with the world? So when the world tells me that I need a personal brand, I want to be like, well, that's none of your business. But my personality and everyone's personality, that's always on display, right? That's just innate in who we are. It's ingrained in who we are. And people can see that all the time. So when I think about a personality brand, it's something that it's already on display. So you're not giving away too much of yourself. You're not feeling uncomfortable with your message. It's just bringing a little bit more of you into that message. And what does that look like? And it's leveled for some people. You know, for some, like you and me, we're very much outgoing, we're very comfortable, and we're happy to kind of share more and be, you know, be on the higher level. But people that are more shy or more conservative, that doesn't mean they can't have a personality brand. It's just going to reflect a different aspect of their personality and make them, again, just feel comfortable with whatever they're putting out, that they're not overstepping any bounds or letting people into something in their life that they don't want them to know or share.
Yeah, as you're talking about that, like, I can't help but feel that this is the kind of thing that, you know, like, I think about the moment that we're in and how the job market has even become and will continue to become probably more difficult. And I imagine, you know, having your ability to have your personal brand or personality, you know, out there in a way that really draws some distinctions between you and the other people out on the market is probably going to pay huge dividends.
I mean, I think it's more important now than ever. I mean, I've been talking about this for quite a while, that having that distinction, especially when we talk about AI, right? You've got bots that are trolling LinkedIn and trolling job sites and just looking for keywords, right? So obviously you need to have keywords in your messaging in order to get someone to look at it. But then once a human is looking at your resume, what is going to make you stand out? It's partially your experience, but it's also your essence. How do you describe yourself? How do you jump off the page? How do you stand out from the thousands of other people that have basically the same experience? So the more you can be genuine and bring a little bit of that humanity into that message, the more likely you are to connect with someone. And, you know, you're not going to connect with everyone, but that's okay. You know, I like to use this analogy of, you know, back in the day when everyone used to put the like skills section and special interests on the bottom of the resume. Right. And it was never related to anything. It never had to do with the jobs that you were applying for. But that was the only piece of your resume that was you. Right. It was the only place that you could showcase something about you that was out of the workforce, whether or not you did karate or you spoke a second language or you did Tai Chi or whatever it was. And I feel like now with putting a little bit of your personality into your message, that's your version of bringing your skills and special highlights to the forefront so that somebody can pick up on that.
Yeah, when you think about that, I mean, to me, like, it really makes me think, you know, just about the fact that you've got so many different people out there competing for that same role. And, you know, if people are looking for you now, they're going to be able to, you know, notice things about you by Googling you anyway. So if they're going to be able to find out these things, then why not kind of wear them proudly on your sleeve in some way?
100%. And also, you can then create consistency, right? So if you know that your employer is Googling you, make sure that how you describe yourself on LinkedIn and on Facebook and on Instagram and on your Twitter has some level of consistency to it. And it could be one thing, a hobby that you love, or just a saying that you like. Whatever it is, it's going to at least pull that through line and again, resonate with someone that really connects to that for whatever reason. You know, I talk about how I love wine and I do CrossFit on my website. And I can't even tell you the number of people that respond to that and message me and are like, oh my God, I'm a wine person too, or I do CrossFit too. And it's just finding that instant camaraderie and instant bond. You know, we're tribal, right? So how do you find the people that fit the tribe that you want to subscribe to?
That's a perfect question. Even like to jump into that a step further. I mean, what are you seeing the ways that people are connecting with people who they've got some additional connection to, whether or not it's, you know, an affiliation, you know, through an alumni organization or, you know, an interest in, you know, cat videos, let's say even, you know, to bond with a prospective employer over that, I think it's really valuable when you find those things. But how do people even start to figure out, you know, what are those things and how do they connect with people, you know, around those topics, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, no. I feel like you were going one way and then it came back another way, but I know what you're asking. I think it's about figuring out what are your passions and what do you want people to ask you about or what do you want to share, right? So if you're a huge, like, you went to Alabama and you're a huge Crimson Tide fan, right? Put that somewhere, because then other people that went to Alabama or other people that enter college sports, that might be something that resonates them. If you like knitting, mention that somewhere. And if you find it, like, think about things that you're really passionate about that attract groups of like-minded people and hone in on that. And again, it doesn't mean you're making something up, but we all have the things that we love to do. And there are people out there that love to do the same things. And that could be a really niche group and it could be a really small group, but that's even better because the more rabid people are around a certain subject, the more they're attracted to people that fit that mold. And, you know, we're all looking for a way to make it easy to connect with people. And so if you find someone that you instantly are like, oh, I do the same thing, you instantly have something to talk about. So making it easy for someone to start a conversation with you, you know, it's like reducing barriers of entry on like calls to action on messaging, right? You just want them to take the action. So how do you get them to take the action? Give them something to respond to.
Yeah. I like the way that you think about that. It's interesting to me. Like, I want to go back a step or two in terms of like how you identified that this was a niche that really had to be filled, because, you know, to me, it's like I said, you know, it's interesting that obviously you and I are surrounded by a lot of technologists, and this is a thing that you were able to tap into and realize that is something that basically everybody needs. So what was that process like for you, you know, from a career trajectory perspective?
I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. So I have always been this way. Like, I have always put my sort of personality on display. And I think that back in the corporate world, that was frowned upon. And so even though I was fairly successful in my corporate, you know, career, you know, I was always limited to a certain degree because I wouldn't quote unquote play the game. Like, I couldn't pretend to be one way in the office and another way at home. And I didn't understand people that did that. I was always just unapologetically me. And it wasn't until probably like recently where I started, you know, I have a newsletter that I write for my business. And I think I was just getting sick of hearing the term personal brand. And it just dawned on me that I was getting bothered by the term personal. And I came to this conclusion of personality. I wrote a blog post about it and it really resonated with people. And so many people started reaching out to me saying, can you help me with this? You know, I love the way you write. It's so natural. It sounds like you, and my stuff doesn't sound like me. And so it was just a matter of, I accidentally found it. And then now the more that I write about it and the more that I get into helping people with their message, the more I kind of feel, this is so cheesy, but like, I kind of feel like this was like my purpose. Like, this is what I'm meant to, like, let people know they can be themselves and give them permission to do that. And it's okay.
Yeah. I just think it's such a liberating thing in some ways. I mean, I'm at least speaking from my perspective, but it's always benefited me more when I just say, this is who I am and have some high degree of confidence in it. And I think part of that might just be is that we're attracted to confidence as human beings. So if you happen to, you know, if you're having a conversation with somebody who's a prospective employer or a prospective client, and they see that kind of positive energy, they naturally get attracted to it. That's my theory. I have no idea if I'm right or not, but it's like, it's not even the fact that like I like dogs and cats and comic books. It's the fact that I'm confident enough that I can share whatever. And you know, if you don't take me for this role, if you don't hire me as this consultant, if you don't pick up my podcast for distribution, whatever it is, it doesn't matter because I have, you know, a high degree of confidence in myself. So.
But I think the distinction is like you have to have confidence in something, right? So just having confidence in yourself, I mean, what does that mean? You have confidence in a way that you're like, because you like cats and dogs and comic books or whatever, right? That's your thing that you're going to stand on, but you have confidence in your abilities. And I think a lot of people have confidence in their abilities, but they don't know how to marry those with who they are as a person, if that makes any sense. And so I agree. I think confidence is definitely something that also creates a strong resonance between people, but it doesn't create a connection. It just might attract people to you, but the personality is what's going to create that connection between you that's going to forge that longer lasting bond.
So what do you think reasonably we can expect in terms of the importance of personality branding over, let's say, the next few years? If the market has seen this unexpected sudden shift I mean, I have a few thoughts on that, but I'm like more curious about like what you think in terms of what this is going to mean for the market and for the, you know, typical job seeker or, you know, solopreneur, you know, folks like that.
I mean, I think, you know, we both know and everybody probably knows that the market now is going to be glutted with talent, right? You've got millions and millions of people looking for work, and most of them are really talented and had jobs and are going to be all fighting for the jobs that are going to be resurfacing now. So I think that the more you can stand out in that market, the better your chances are going to be in the long term. So I think it's going to be more important. I mean, I think it's always important in general, because I just think the more you can be yourself, the better life you're going to have. It just makes everything easier when you just stop caring about what other people think. And I don't mean, you know, be an asshole, but I mean just being yourself and feeling comfortable in your skin. And I think that, you know, that takes a lot of work, but the more you can do that and the more you can stand out with a distinction, the better you're going to set yourself up for the long term.
I think what's nice now is obviously people have all these different tools at their disposal, you know, from their personal website to their LinkedIn to their other social to, you know, like if they want to put together a video in order to, you know, make their brand, you know, stand out. So no. I'm wondering, it's funny, it's an advantage, but it's also how do candidates or, you know, anybody who wants to build their brand make the decisions about, you know, what are the right avenues or channels to, you know, employ?
When you say avenues or channels, you mean like social channels or digital channels?
It can be like social or stills or video or, you know, like so many different options now. It can be the written word, like people like you or I might do. So curious, like, what's your thought process for advising people on what's the best, you know, avenue to build it through?
I think it's whatever you're comfortable with, right? I don't believe in forcing people to be on all the things and to be everywhere. I think it's knowing where your audience is, right? So obviously, if you're looking for a job, LinkedIn has to be your priority. But if you're comfortable on video, maybe you could be putting up videos on LinkedIn. But if you're not comfortable on video and you're not even comfortable writing, maybe you're just sharing posts and making a quick note about it, or maybe you're just engaging with people. So I think knowing where the people are that you want to attract is first, right? Who's your ideal client, whether or not you're looking for an employer as a client or a customer as a client, and then going where they might be and spending your time there. Because we don't all need to be on all the things. Like, I'm not on Twitter. I don't really use TikTok or Twitch or Pinterest, or it's just not where I want to be spending my time. I don't have the bandwidth for it. So I'm going where my audience is, which is a newsletter that goes in their inbox, LinkedIn, and maybe a little bit of Instagram here and there and Facebook. But it's like doing what you know you're going to be able to do so that you don't get overwhelmed, right? It's like a diet, right? We're not going to just throw everything out and go crazy on day one. It's like we're going to take micro steps to kind of figure out what those habits are. So what's the first thing you should be doing to figure out where your audience is, then figure out what you're comfortable doing, take that next step, and then build from there. And your comfort level might change, right? Eventually, you might be like, I've never done video. I'm so terrified. You might do it one day and find out that you have a knack for it, right? Or the same thing with writing. So I think it's like trial and error.
I mean, hey, I'm a podcaster who hates my voice. So
everybody hates their voice. That's like a universal.
I know, but I definitely don't have a good one. But I then listen to it all the time, you know, because I realized that it's that I can talk, and I mean, obviously, I enjoy listening, but I can transition from point A to point B, and it's a thing that works for me, basically. And also, you don't have to see my face, so that's a nice advantage, also. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, one thing I want to come back to though that you were talking about is the idea of, you know, like finding that congruousness, if you will, right? So I think you know this, but somebody like me who has something like comedy that they do on the side, you know, so I do stand up, and thank you very much for supporting my comedy charity fundraiser the other week, by the way. So a little shout out. She's a good Samaritan also. The thing that I was curious about is, you know, what do you do when those things are incongruous and you just really can't connect them? You know, is the answer just really to still be proud of them and to say, listen, these things don't necessarily connect, but they make me more of a fleshed out human being?
Well, I would ask you, why don't they connect? Why don't you? I totally think they could connect, right? If you do stand-up comedy, that means you're more comfortable speaking in front of people. So that's a way to position yourself for a client or a an employer who needs you to present or sell, right? You understand rejection really well. And you just, you know, and you also have a crazy work ethic, right? Because you're writing all the time, you're getting up on stage, you know, you don't, you're okay with criticism, obviously. You know, there's also a way to like marry some of the humor from being a stand-up comedian into your bio, right? So you could take, you know, a joke that you have. I mean, you could, you know, close your emails to potential employers with, you know, don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. I'll be here all week. Like you can come up with cute little things that sort of reference the comedy that make them congruous, right? I think anything can be congruous. You just have to figure out the right way to get there.
That's a very interesting way of putting it. Yeah, and which I had never honestly thought of before, you know, and I didn't even, you know, prep you for that question, as you know. So I think the very fact that, you know, you can easily, you know, connect the dots in a way that I couldn't, you know, on a dime is pretty impressive. So I think we covered a lot. I want to ask you, I think, like, what's something that you're following? Because, you know, just to go back to the state of the market and where we're in, you know, like, obviously, we're talking about something, personality branding that's evergreen, and it was probably important 5 years ago. It's important today. It'll probably be important 5 years from now. That's why I, you know, when I think about like what future proof means to me, it's about, you know, protecting yourself against any further disruption in the future, making sure that you've got the best possible path laid out for you. And not everything that we cover, you know, has to always be, you know, the latest VR implementation that if your company doesn't, you know, adopt, you're going to be screwed. Sometimes it's as simple as mastering things that were important in the past that are going to be incredibly important in the future, especially as we're all getting commoditized as people. So thank you so much, Danielle. I think a lot of people will get, you know, a lot out of this episode.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope so, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks again, Danielle, for making the time. And if you're interested in learning more about her work, you can sign up for her newsletter at morethanwordscopy.com. If you like what you just heard and this is your first time here, be sure to subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, the choice is yours. And if you're a longtime listener, please remember to rate and review Future Proof, as that's the number one way we get this show in front of people just like you. Special thanks this week to associate producers Jason Stack and V. Cortuccio. Once again, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and you've been listening to Future Proof.